We would like to welcome you to the September 13th, 2023, a meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, please make sure that your cell phones are muted, and if you're joining us virtually, please make sure that you're muted there as well so that we can have a clear record. Signposting. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. At this time, I'll read the items that are on our consent agenda. Number one is the petition of Doug Bean Signs, 23-003661-COA, 224 West Bay Street Sign. Number two, the petition of Halla & Co., 23-004234-COA, 114 Bull Street Alterations. Number three, the petition of Felder & Associates, 23-004237-COA, 255 Montgomery Street Alterations. The petition of Stephanie Harris, 23-004220-COA, 120 West Taylor Street Alterations. And lastly, the petition of Shaw Architecture and Interiors, 23-004239-COA, 147 Bull Street Alterations. Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Rowan, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Zach Thompson, second.
Okay. We'll do a voice vote for this. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. If your item was on the consent agenda, it has been approved. You're welcome to stay or leave as you wish. Next is the adoption of today's agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Do I have a second?
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Again, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Minutes from the previous month's meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve last month's meeting minutes?
Rowan, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Oh, let me back up real fast. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda, there are none listed. So we'll move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. The petition of Shed Architecture 23-003202-COA, 412 to 414 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, non-contributing demolition. The petition of Principles of Design, 23-004038-COA, 115 East River Street Sign. The petition of Otaco Affair, 23-003629-COA, 401 West Hall Street Sign. The petition of JDH Decks and Fences Incorporated, 23-003664-COA, 20 East Broad Street Fence. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. There are no requests for extensions this month, so we will move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to those public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you're joining us virtually, please make sure that you locate your control panel. Anybody that wishes to submit a comment, use the raise your hand feature and I'll be notified and call on you by name. And if you're in person, please make sure that you sign in and you state your name for the record. And public comments are kept to 3 minutes or less. First item on the regular agenda is the petition of Rose Architects, 23-002530-COA, 301 Alice Street, New Construction, Part 2, Design Details.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction part two design details for a single family residence with a four car carriage house for the property located at 301 Alice Street. Since the part one height and mass approval, the fenestration pattern and solid void ratio has changed on the rear facade of the carriage house. Staff does find these changes visually compatible. So it's this area here that has changed this fenestration pattern. Most recently at the July 12, 2023 meeting, you all approved part one height and mass with two conditions. And one, that's the door frames shall be inset not less than 3 inches. And two, driveway aprons shall not be erected on the public right of way. With regard to part two design details and visual compatibility and the relationship of material, textures, and colors, I'm going to pass the materials again for you all. Following colors and materials are proposed. Brick is a U.S. brick blue-black velour. Metal roof and panels above the garage doors is the Rhinezinc Granum Sky Gray. The cornice is smooth, hardy painted iron ore. Windows and storefront are painted inkwell, louvers painted iron ore, and sconces are proposed to be copper cylinders. And you can see all those in this rendering. Here's a couple more renderings. This is the front. This is the side facing Jefferson. And this is the rear. Staff does not find the black and gray colors visually compatible with contributing resources within the ward, which mainly consists of white, off-white, and a variety of beige colors. Brick colors consist of reds and browns. With regard to the design standards, residential exterior walls shall be finished in brick, wood, fiber cement siding with a smooth finish or true stucco. Brick is proposed for the majority of the building. On the rear facade of the carriage house here, the zinc sanding seam wall paneling is proposed around the windows. The board may approve alternative materials that are not listed as prohibited upon a showing by the applicant that the material or product is visually compatible with historic building materials and has performed satisfactorily in the local climate. Although this material performs satisfactorily in the local climate and is used as roofing material, staff does not find it visually compatible to use as a wall material and does not recommend approval. So there's a standard that says a sliding glass door is visible from a street or prohibited. So up here are sliding glass doors are proposed. So that needs to be changed to meet the standard. Windows facing a street shall be double hung, triple hung awning casement. So the windows inside of the recessed area on the front facade are proposed to be a fixed type of window, so it doesn't meet one of those operable window types. We're looking for clarification on what these porch and deck materials are proposed to be made of. There wasn't any indication in the drawings. These are, the light fixtures were indicated as copper cylinders. We would like to see an actual material specification or manufacturer specification, excuse me, on those. We're asking for more information regarding this trellis here, both in material and design. And then where there's a standard that says where garage doors front streets or are adjacent to sidewalks, they shall resemble carriage house doors. So these doors are contemporary steel design. We don't think it meets the standard that says they shall resemble carriage house doors. Staff is recommending to continue new construction part two design details with the following conditions to be submitted to the board for review within a maximum of 90 days. One, redesign the exterior color scheme to be visually compatible with contributing buildings to which this building is visually related. Two, revise the zinc standing seam wall paneling on the rear facade of the carriage house to a permitted material. Three, revise the sliding glass doors on the south facade of the main house. Four, revise the windows surrounding the front entrance to be an operable type. Five, provide information regarding rear porch materials. Six, provide light fixture specifications. Seven, provide information regarding the trellis material and design. Eight, the garage doors must resemble carriage house doors. And nine, driveway apron shall not be erected on the public right of way. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I just have one quick one. Is the standing seam zinc wall material the same as is being used on that little overhang over the side door?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
So I couldn't tell if it was the same pattern also.
You can double check with the applicant, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Any additional questions? Okay, thank you, Leah. Would the petitioner come forward? Make sure you state your name for the record.
Stop. Hello, I'm Kevin Rose with Rose Architects. It's my pleasure to present before you today. I'm not going to beat around the bush. This building is of its time. It's not a historic replication. Secretary of the Interior Standards basically says that buildings should be of their time, and that's what we're trying to do here. So I hope everyone can look at this with that light. We're trying to make a piece of architecture and not just a return on investment for a big developer. And we've been blessed with a client that wants to make something that lasts and is something that will continue to be a part of this fabric, the historic fabric of Savannah in the future. Architecture is a kit of parts, right? So every piece interacts with every other piece. So we've tried to be very careful in how we put this together. And when we get to the staff recommendations and I address each of them, I want to let you know why we did what we did and the reason for it and also our interpretation of how that meets the ordinance rather than how the ordinance meets us. At best, ordinances can stop the worst from happening, and there's good news. We have a board that can help have the best happen, so that's what we're looking to y'all for. If I could start going down the list, we have addressed many of these items. Number one is color. Anyone that's ever worked with me knows that color is such a funky conversation with me because everyone has an opinion, and everyone's right. Obviously, visual compatibility comes into play here. This product has been used in the district in a large-scale development. If you look at it closely, the name says black. It is brown with a gray tinge to it. If you bring it into the sunlight, it does not look black. Our renderings show kind of a darker inset. That's just an issue with being able to render that the forms that we had. So I see this as a brown gray and not as a black. So when looking at that color, we shouldn't be talking about black here. It shows up in the rendering as kind of a brown gray in most spots. That's what it is. So I'm usually up here saying we agree with the staff and we're going to do everything we can. We disagree. And to disagree on color is kind of a pretty basic subject. Everyone does it. So looking at the scheme, the other colors, zinc, which we can kind of double up on that. Zinc is used in the district. I mean, turn metal roofs have been every pitched roof, you know, that was built in the early days of the district. It's probably one of the most common once they took lead out as the main ingredient. Once lead was removed, zinc was added. We're trying to do what William J. did, is take a usual material and do unusual things with it. And it's not that crazy to use it as a wall panel. It's been used at the Kehoe Ironworks as a wall panel. And I believe a few months ago, Jerome Elder stood up here with a fish, kind of a fish scale pattern zinc siding that was approved by this board as well, on an addition on MLK. So we didn't see this as being a big deal. It really does help define the vertical elements of the carriage house rather than having brick infill there. I think it's a good design element. And, so as far as that number with the zinc, we are going to use the same standing seam, but the pattern will match the windows rather than the standard spacing. So the idea is for those seams to line up, which is, I think, architecturally the right move. So covering color. So I want to leave it to you because we all have opinions to revise the things, you know, those panels. We've covered that. Three, the sliding glass doors have been revised. I believe this is the, we don't actually have to show it, but they have been changed to operable. I think when the ordinance was written, sliding glass doors were your typical ticky-tack aluminum narrow styles. These doors are not going to look any different. They're just going to operate different. They're the same Marvin Ultimate, the same pattern as far as the trim and everything, but we'll go ahead and change those. That's an easy fix for us. Number four, revise the windows surrounding the front entrance. The way we see the front entrance, and we'll kind of go here, we see these windows around the doors as side lights and as transoms. And transoms and side lights are fixed. They are not operable. It would be disingenuous to have operable side lights and transoms. And although we can find windows that operate in a casement fashion, all that will add is more visual weight to the frames and just be operable and never used. So we felt that the use of either storefront or a residentially fixed glass pattern here would make the most sense since they're never going to be operated. And they are side lights and transoms here. All of the front elevation, main elevations and side elevations meet the ordinance. So we're just asking you for an interpretation of those as side lights and transoms. The rear porch materials have been covered. Let's see here. It's very slow, yes. I want to make sure I don't. Sections. Try to zoom in here. So we have a steel column coming up out of a brick pier. The steel column is only visual at the top, which is basically a reveal of a reverse capital, if you will. Some zinc paneling on the fascia of the edge of the porch, a wood top rail, and then just steel bar for the guardrail items. We're using a, in the ceiling, we're using a nickel gap wood or composite material for the actual ceiling. I don't believe we'll be able to see the flooring, but it'll be a tongue and groove wood or composite floor. Is there anything else that I need to cover on the porch item? Light fixtures, we're having supply chain issues with items, and I talked with staff already. We're gonna, once we find one that we can get, we're gonna present it to staff. This, I just wanna skip over that because some items aren't even available for several years. The trellis material, we're basically, it's not a trellis. Find it here. Trellis is shown here with a zinc standing seam roof that slopes towards the street. It's tapered at 1 and 12 to meet the drainage requirements, and then the you won't actually see that from the street, but it, the client doesn't want to look at a membrane roof from his porch, so we're using that material. Steel column reveal capital, and then the brick here, and then the underside will be that same nickel gap wood trim underneath. So it's basically a flat plane with a brick wall and steel piers. The garage doors, resembling carriage doors. Well, we looked up carriage doors in the ordinance. It doesn't describe what carriage doors look like. So I don't know if anyone has an idea, but what one thing that we did do is we went through the neighborhood. And on Wayne Street, which is one street to the north, every single one of these 14 doors is flat panel. On Jefferson Street, they have doors that are flat panels. I think it's possible that that definition, my interpretation, means that it should look like this and not like a pair of French doors or some other type of thing that carriages wouldn't go in and out of. Obviously, we don't have horses going in and out of them today. So we'd like to basically mimic the same condition that we have here. I'm not a huge fan of stamped fake doors, and I don't feel that would be appropriate as part of the kit of parts for this project. The driveway aprons, we used up a lot of time trying to chase down the proper definition of this. I went through several departments of the city. We finally landed in Kenneth Cullen's expert on driveway aprons desk, and staff and I discussed with Kenneth what we're doing here, and he said, just like next door, we are not doing a driveway apron. We are doing a depressed sidewalk. So it allows for people to still walk and go past, you know, whether they're in a wheelchair or walking. He said that that was fine, that that was the definition of it, that it wasn't your standard apron, that would have been more for a parking lot or something else that would go onto the site. So I think that that's been covered. Staff may agree. One other thing I want to bring up is that this brick that is in this photograph, we like this brick a lot. It has a lot of gray in it. It has some red and it has some brown in it. This is similar to what we're using if you see it in the daylight and out there. So this is, although it's not a contributing building, we find that it's a fine piece of architecture that it's just right around the corner, half a block away. So once again, we all have a belief in color and what we like and what we don't like. And I feel like what we're presenting here is great for the kit of parts and great for the neighborhood.
Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Please make sure that you state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Andrew Jones. I'm with the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. And I have a concern with this project, primarily from a process perspective. I've raised this issue in the prior hearings. In order to approve a COA, you need to make sure that this project passes 7.89 visual compatibility, which says that the building must be visually compatible in a number of different ways to buildings to which it is visually related, which is defined in 13.5 as buildings within view of the subject property. And this is my third hearing, I think, on this building. The petitioner has not provided a map with sight lines from the property showing the buildings that are visually related and showing you pictures of those buildings. The MPC has not provided that. And so it seems to me you don't actually have the information that you need in order to render a decision from a process perspective. You should have pictures of those buildings. I'm sure some of you have visited the site and may already know what those buildings look like, but you may not all be in agreement as to whether it's 315 this street or 217 that. So as a matter of process, I would request that this application go into continuance. And in the meantime, perhaps the staff could assist in providing sight lines to the relevant buildings and providing pictures. And that way, when you ultimately do render a decision, it would comply fully with the ordinance. Thank you very much.
Any additional public comments?
Hello, my name is Harley Krinsky. I am the proposed owner of 301 Alice. I just basically want to go over kind of reiterating a lot of what Kevin said. I think we've addressed pretty much everything 1 through 9. We believe the color is obviously a matter of opinion. The zinc standing seam, we're just trying to use materials to, I guess, help the back end of the building. We've revised sliding glass doors to French doors. The windows we feel are side lights and transoms. Rear porch materials we've addressed. Light fixtures we can specify, obviously. The trellis we've addressed. The garage doors we've addressed, and the driveway we've addressed. So I think it really just comes down, in my opinion, to color. And we worked very hard on this building to make this something special for the neighborhood, for the architecture in the area, and we're very proud of it. So I hope we can pass it today.
Any additional public comments? Virtually? In person? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to any of the public comments?
So I'm still Kevin Rose with Rose Architects. And to respond to Mr. Jones, there are actually photographs in our presentation that are there. I don't know how we missed them, but I just want to make sure everybody here has seen them. They're there. And we're in compliance in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be accepted. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I guess starting out, there's a whole lot to chew on at this first one this afternoon. And so I'm going to
pause for 2 seconds. Leah, can you put up the rendering again? Thank you. Go ahead.
Actually, I'd like to stay with this picture. Yes, I would like to stay with this picture. Because going back to, as you guys have said about color, and I think part of that also ties into visual compatibility. I seem to remember something about visual compatibility. And having looked at the board that's gone across, if those colors, there they are, if those colors are a lot like the colors that are on the screen, the colors on the screen look like they are more visually compatible with what's in that area, or they're closer than the colors that are over there. And I'm going to have a real hard time moving for a continuance on that color scheme.
Okay, Mr. Becker.
First of all, I think that the staff did a great job in reviewing what I think is a complex project. I'll just go ahead and say a couple things about the color. The ordinance is really clear. I've heard what Mr. Rose has said, but the ordinance is clear that says that the color needs to be visually compatible. And I actually did go out and look at the neighbors, and at 302 Alice, 308 Alice, and 444 Jefferson are stucco. There's a wood at 217 Alice and 457 Montgomery. Those are, seem to be the visually compatible criteria with 13.5. Red brick, and then it goes on to say that if you don't have a visually compatible colors around you, you do what is consistent within the block or the area, and that is a red brick, picking up on the example that you just did here. So I think the staff raising the question about color is legitimate. I think that the neighbors bought into the historic district expecting people to adhere to the ordinance, the design criteria, and that's where I rest on at least that issue. And I support all the rest of the staff's recommendations.
Okay, Ms. Rowan?
No comment at this time.
Mr. Higgins?
I'll skip the color part because I think it is up to a very personal interpretation. I don't find it jarring and not compatible. I am troubled by the objection to this zinc standing seam wall paneling. I think it provides a nice fitting use of a material that's commonly used in roofing, but here we're putting on a wall. I think it speaks to the building and the time. The other, I totally agree with the architecture, with the architect on those side windows being just that, side windows. I think it would be jarring if they were put in as operable windows and not take away from the idea of being side lights. Other than that, I think the architect has done a tremendous job, and I just want to compliment on this.
Okay, Mr. Thompson?
Well, I am torn between staff recommendations and what I think about brand new buildings. I see this neighborhood as variety of designs. Mm-hmm. Some are brick, some are wood, some are stucco. Certainly this being brick fits into the three or four brick buildings that are nearby. The color, yeah, it looked a little dark to me, particularly when you look at the thing. But it's a building, what's the expression of its time? It's a design of its time. It's a new building from scratch, replacing a building that probably fit into that neighborhood 50 years ago, but, you know, its use is long gone to the suburbs or some commercial area. So I just did a little inventory here. Out of the numbers that are shown, maybe not everybody could see them, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, I think the architect offered fixes or explanations for all those. The light issue can be a future staff. That's number 6. And the ones that I thought I just had them up myself for myself were, do we have a 10-minute limit?
No, nope, go ahead.
I'm just kidding.
You're fine.
the color, again, it's a brand-new building and a somewhat maybe visually transitioning neighborhood over time. A little dark, but be interesting to see it real. The zinc, I agree with Mr. Higgins, that seems to be appropriate and interesting approach there above the doors and below the windows. And number four, the windows surrounding front entrance, operability or not, given all the operable windows in the building, partially for fire escape, you know, those by the door could be considered lights, or what's the right term?
Side lights.
Thank you. So I'm pretty much in favor of moving those forward with, you know, some conditions added that, you know, for explaining, make sure 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are actually addressed.
Okay. We'll go around one more time. Mr. Hull?
Nothing more.
Mr. Becker?
Nothing more.
Ms. Rowan?
I just want to say I'm in favor of the design. I think it's great. I also think that some colors downtown read darker than they are. I mean, if you see some shutters that are Charleston green, it reads black until the sunlight hits it. So colors do change with lighting. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a problem with any of it. And that whole area has changed, and a lot of these homes have been built within the past like 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to commend the architect for a beautiful design.
Okay. Mr. Higgins?
I echo what Ms. Rowan just said. I do have one quick question for Leah, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
To adopt the side light, I'm calling them side light windows, would they need a special exception?
No, I don't think so, if you're calling them side lights and transoms.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, anything additional?
Well, again, I like to see some, when you have a new site like this, which basically it is when the other building's gone, you know, application of a good design for its time. And that's, I think that's, this fits that bill. I think it's on Abercorn, up a couple squares back a long time ago. In fact, I think the designer is in the room here. It's a very modern, modern house, okay? And it created plenty of comments and havoc at the time.
Yep.
That was actually before my time. But across the street, they built another one just like it a number of years later. So, yep. And that's in a more established neighborhood than this is in terms of transition. So I see this fitting in here fine, and in the future will be much nicer for this neighborhood.
Okay. We will. Do you have a question?
Share a personal point. I did not hear Mr. Higgins' question to Leah.
He asked if we would, if the petitioner would need to request a special exception for the fixed windows that he is proposing around the doors. And Leah said no, because they're being considered labeled transoms and side lights. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. We'll now entertain a motion.
Higgins, I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to MPC file 23-02530-COA, 301 Alice Street, approve the new construction as submitted with the following conditions, those being that light fixture specifications be provided to staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that the driveway apron issues have be approved by, streets and traffic engineering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to reiterate before we have a second, Higgins is moving to approve the application with conditions number 6 and 9. Right. Do we have a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay. Mr. Hull, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Becker?
No.
Ms. Rowan?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
Okay. With that, the petition has been approved with conditions. Okay. The next petition is the petition of Ethos Preservation 23-003215-COA 603 Whitaker Street Rehabilitation.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Leah again. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation for the property located at 603 Whitaker Street. This application consists of four main parts: the restoration of the front facade, the removal of minimally visible additions, the alteration of a rear porch to become an interior space, and the construction of a brick wall across the rear yard of the house. It also includes the repair of all wood siding and exterior trim with minimal replacement and kind if necessary and color changes. Contributing building at 603 Whitaker Street was constructed in 1888. It was designed by W.G. Preston for John Tisbett. Building has been altered in many ways over time, and this project seeks to restore several elements from the original Preston design. The owner of the property was able to obtain the original plans for this property drawn by Preston, and here's an example here. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, all features proposed to be added are not conjectural. They're based on the original plans drawn by Preston. The existing front porch, which dates from 1973 to 1983, and the encroaching additions have not acquired historic significance. The Preston design is historically significant and is proposed to be reconstructed and restored. The glass enclosure to the rear porch is reversible, and differentiated from the features of the historic building. With regard to design standards, the primary siding color on the house will be Sherwin-Williams Copen Blue. All the colors are up here. The primary trim and window color will be classic white. Smaller accents on the house will be Rookwood shutter green, and railings will be Rookwood sash green. These colors we find historically appropriate. The only condition that we are recommending is to provide the dimension between the new brick wall and the adjacent building. It's required to be a minimum of 5 feet. Staff is recommending approval for the rehabilitation with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that's one, as I just mentioned, a minimum of 5 feet shall be provided between the new rear yard wall and the building to the north. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Leah? Okay.
Thank you.
Would petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Kim Campbell with Ethos Preservation. Thank you to the board for hearing our petition today. We also want to take a moment and thank staff. They have done a lot of work with us over the last few months on this petition to prepare it for y'all, and we appreciate their input on it. I have in my presentation today the same site plan that you saw in the packet with the addition of a single dimension right here. I'm going to zoom way in so you can see it. Here between the new proposed wall and the adjacent building to the north, you can see that on the plans as submitted, we were already at 5'1" and 1¼ inches difference there. So we are right there. And with that, we would ask for your full approval of our petition today. I'm happy to take any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment virtually, in person? Wow. Okay. With that, then we will go ahead and enter into board discussion. Mr. Thompson, I'll start with you.
No comment.
Okay. Mr. Higgins?
No comment other than I think this is a wonderful project.
Okay. Ms. Rowan?
I can't wait to see it. It's going to be beautiful.
Mr. Becker?
No comments.
And Mr. Houle.
Good job by everybody.
Well, okay. I also just wanted to state that I'm excited to see this project happen because a lot of people don't tend to take the time and the money that it takes to restore buildings based on their original drawings. So that's exciting to me. Anyway, we'll now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that the Savannah Historic Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 23003215COA at 603 East Whitaker Street as requested because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Okay, do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay. Ms. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan? Mr. Becker?
Aye.
And Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has been approved as submitted. Okay. The next item on the regular agenda is also a petition by Ethos Preservation 23-004235-COA, 309 Lorch Street, Rehabilitation and New Construction, Small, Parts 1 and 2.
I'm going to pass the model around.
Okay.
All right. Thank you again, Madam Chairwoman. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation of the main building in addition to the main building and new construction of a two-story carriage house for the property located at 309 Lorch Street. Rehabilitation work on the main house. Let me zoom in here. That's our building right here. Rehabilitation work on the main house includes in-kind replacement of existing architectural shingle roof, wood siding and trim repair, minor window and front door repair, front porch repair, repointing the brick chimney and historic brick foundation and color changes. The new colors are needlepoint navy. Windows and trim are classic light buff and the front doors are rookwood red. The addition was built in 2000 and it will be extended to the east and will be minimally visible due to the adjacent structure, which you can see here covers it up, and the new carriage house that'll be installed down here. The existing rear deck will be removed and a new rear deck and stair constructed, which will not be visible due to the new carriage house. This is a historic building that was constructed in 1891 and is contributing. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, all historic features are proposed to be retained and repaired in kind. Staff finds the new addition to be appropriate. Its roof line is distinct from the main historic building and the addition steps in from the corner of the main building. The addition is reversible and differentiated. With regard to design standards and foundation, the project description indicates that the historic brick chimney and historic brick foundation will be repointed. However, no information was provided regarding the mortar type, color, texture, and other qualities. The carriage house is proposed to be fiber cement siding. However, the finish wasn't specified, and we're asking to ensure that it has a smooth finish. The pitch for this roof wasn't provided here. It does match the pitch of the 2000 addition, though. Same with the eave depth here wasn't provided. And everybody's favorite standard, a minimum of 5 feet between the fence and a wall is required. And right now it's 3 feet, 4 inches. Staff is recommending approval for the rehabilitation of the main building in addition to the main building and new construction of the two-story carriage house with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. That's one, to provide information regarding the mortar type. Two, fiber cement siding must have a smooth finish. Three, provide the pitch for the shed roof of the new addition. Four, provide the eave depth for the addition. And five, reconfigure the existing fence and the new gate to provide a minimum of 5 feet between the fence and the carriage house. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Thank you, Leah.
Thank you.
Would petitioner please come forward and state your name again for the record?
Kim Campbell, Ethos Preservation. Once again, thank you to the board and thank you to staff for your assistance with this petition. In regards to condition one, we are, of course, planning to use a lime-based mortar matching the color that's there. We are happy to provide that specification to staff for their final approval. On condition two, we are already planning to use smooth finish hardy. We have updated in our presentation here to show that that is what we're planning in our notes for that. On condition three, we are proposing to match the existing pitch of the 2000 addition on the extension that we are planning that will, as staff stated, be stepped back. So it'll be differentiated from the historic house. That pitch is approximately 1/12. And so we're proposing to carry that over. We would ask that this board, approve the plans as proposed, carrying the existing pitch of that 2000 addition over. For condition four, we have added here the eave depth. It is already over 12 inches. Once again, we're matching what's present. It's 1'2" and some change there. And on condition five, the fence shown here on the site plan is an existing fence on the adjacent property. It is not a fence we are proposing to put up there. It is an existing condition and currently legally nonconforming, so that standard does not apply. With that, we would ask that this board approve our petition with condition one because we have already met conditions two and four. We would ask that you not put condition three on it since we're matching the existing pitch and condition five does not apply. We would answer any questions at this time.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
What's the effect of the design to match the ordinance pitch in the design? What would happen?
So on this view here, here's where we're proposing to add the addition. To meet the 2 and 12, we would have to build a wall for a portion and go over the roof, and we would be creating a visually intrusive feature that is not currently present. This roof on this addition as designed in 2000 was supposed to sort of be minimally visible from the lane there, and you basically imagine something sticking up right here so we'd have this line and then it would shut off. So we'd actually have two walls we'd have to build to achieve this pitch. So you'd have the new addition actually not being subordinate to this addition from 2000 if we were to achieve that pitch.
Okay, thank you for that. Or you have to dig into the roof line and pitch off on that into the existing. There's another way to do it. Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Any additional questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment virtually, in person? Man, y'all are making this easy today. Okay, at this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Mr. Houle, I'll start with you.
I have nothing right now.
Mr. Becker?
I have no comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins? And Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
Okay. Since nobody had anything to say the first time around, we'll go enter into, I'll entertain a motion. Can you bring up staff recommendations, please? Thank you.
Madam Chairman, this is Stan Houle.
Yes.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition COA at 309 Lorch Street with the following, with the conditions listed in the staff recommendation 1 and 2.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Rowan second.
Thompson second.
Okay. Mr. Hull, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has been approved with conditions 1 and 2 only. Next is the petition of Lomonac Coleman Smith Architects, 23-004075-COA, 541 East Congress Street, alterations.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations to the front elevation of the building located at 541 East Congress Street. The site consists of what were originally two buildings with the addresses of 541 and 543 East Congress Street that were combined. The proposed scope of work consists of the following: restoration of the two front entrance doors and transoms. The transoms are presently covered with wood panels. Restoration of the front windows, repointing of the brick facade where needed, removal of non-original shutters, repainting of the front elevation, installation of one painted steel canopy with steel tie rod backs over the easternmost front entrance here. Removal of the non-original front stoop railings at both entrances and their replacement with painted steel posts and tube railings, and removal of the steps at the westernmost front entrance door here. The historic building was built in 1860 and is a contributing resource. The date of the existing front entrance stoops is not known, but they are visible in this photo from the Historic Savannah Architectural Inventory completed by Historic Savannah Foundation in August 1962. None of the available sandbar maps, and you can see here, from 1884 through 1973 show any kind of stoops at all. However, we obviously know they existed for at least part of the history due to the 1962 photograph. The existing front entrance stoops are of an unknown date, but are clearly not original to the date of construction of the historic building. The design of the proposed replacement railings and canopy are of a contemporary design that will clearly delineate that they are new additions to the historic building and will not create a false sense of history. With regard to design standards, the only standard that wasn't being met was that shutters are required to have a horizontal rail that corresponds to the location of the meeting rail on the windows. And you can see in these elevations that no horizontal rail is proposed there, so they just need to add that. Staff is recommending approval for alterations with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, add a horizontal rail to the shutters and ensure it corresponds to the location of the meeting rail of the window. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? I know we talked about this one during pre. No? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Jerry Lominack. I'm the architect for the project. Even though our client would prefer the full shutter, full louvered shutter, she has agreed to the horizontal bar, which we'd be glad to do. And other than that, we agree with the staff recommendation.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment?
Hello, my name is Andrew Jones with the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. With respect to the metal awning, I see no reason to apply a modern metal awning of that form to an 1860 building. Nothing like that appears in the 1962 historic photograph. I think it's completely inappropriate, not compatible with the group, the other buildings in the group. I also find that the railings on the stoops are also a little bit too jarring, a little too modern. They can be differentiated without such a dramatic contrast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any other additional public comments virtually? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comments at all?
We agree, actually, with Ms. Mihalik's comments that the addition to this building was not original to it. We felt it was very important to differentiate what was the historic building and what was new that was added in 2023. And that was the reason we did it. We feel like the addition, doing it in this way, is quite appropriate for the intent of preservation within the historic district and continuing to respect the original fabric of the building while also helping to bring it into a more usable condition and differentiating between what was original and what is new.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
Nothing right now.
Okay, Mr. Becker.
I am concerned about two things about this project. Number one, the use of these non-historic materials. The proposal is to use a metal material for both the roof and then also the railings. It's replacing an existing iron railing. The ordinance is pretty clear that it says if you're going to be making an alteration to a stoop, it should be using historical material, which is either wood or iron. And I think that the improvements that they're proposing should be limited to those two things.
Ms. Rowan?
I agree with the previous comments.
Mr. Higgins?
I also agree with the previous comments. I find the addition of the awning, the changes to the stoops, just jarring, and remove all symmetry to this historic pair of cottages. And this is coming from someone who lives in a house with two front doors. There are other ways to differentiate your primary front door than to completely destroy the historic character of how this house looks visually.
I don't have any comments.
Okay, we'll go around a second time. Mr. Houle.
I'm glad I reserved my space because now I'm leaning much more toward the other board members about the awning, the removal of the stoops and the railings. They've moved from let it pass to a concern.
Mr. Becker.
No additional comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No additional comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No additional.
And Mr. Thompson?
Just that I think I agree with the staff recommendation in this case.
Okay. At this time, we'll now entertain a motion.
Higgins?
Yes.
I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to MPC file number 23-004075-COA, 541 East Congress Street, deny a certificate of appropriateness for alterations to the front of the building.
Okay, do I have a second?
Becker, second.
We need a more specific reason why visual compatibility, you know, some kind of...
It violates visual compatibility, use of compatible materials.
Okay, can you restate your second if you agree?
Becker, second.
Okay. Okay, so currently the motion on the floor is to deny the application due to visual compatibility and compatibility of materials concerns. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
No.
So you'd want to deny the denial? That's just making sure we're being clear.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
No.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
No or nay, whatever.
Okay, so that means that that motion failed?
Yeah, that was 3-2?
Yeah.
Motion failed.
Motion failed.
So unless you want to vote.
No, I'm not voting.
Okay.
So do I have another motion on the table?
Madam Chair, this is Stan Houle.
Yes.
I would move. Hold on. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review continue the petition 23004075 COA at 541 East Congress Street with the following conditions.
Okay.
One, that the roof, not the roof, but the awning to the property be reconsidered and maybe not added. Two, that the guardrails be reconsidered.
The railing, is that
the
what
railings?
You're saying? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Be redesigned, is that what you're saying?
Yep. And number three, the horizontal rail, which they've already agreed to, but I put it in the motion.
Okay. Okay, so let me read this. The current motion on the floor is to continue the applications with the following conditions. That the awning be reconsidered. The railing be redesigned, and the third condition for the first condition, the horizontal rail to the shutters be added. Do I have a second on that motion?
Rowan, second.
Okay. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Nay.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Definitely aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued. Okay.
I wondered what that was.
Okay. The next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Lominette Coleman Smith Architects 23-004230-COA 208 East Liberty Street, New Construction Accessory Building, Part 1, Height and Mass.
Thank you. Pest model. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction Part 1 Height and Mass for a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property located at 208 East Liberty Street. The rear of the property is currently an open parking area, which you can see here. It and its supporting walls will now screen the parking areas as well as the adjacent covered parking area to the east. The proposed 600-square-foot carriage house apartment is proposed to be constructed to concrete masonry at the first level and wood frame construction above. Both will be finished with two-coat true stucco. The block face along the lane consists of one contributing carriage house that you can see here and one non-contributing carport, which is directly adjacent here. Historically, a wide variety of accessory buildings existed at the rear of this property, but by 1973, the rear yard was vacant. The principal building was constructed in 1868 and is a contributing resource. With regard to visual compatibility and the relationship of solids to voids, the relationship of solids to voids in the facades visible from the public right-of-way shall be visually compatible with the contributing buildings and structures to which the structure is visually related.
Staff does not find that the 24-foot, 8-inch wide garage opening to be visually compatible. Although the immediate adjacent carport has a similar width opening, this is not a contributing structure. Openings on contributing carriage houses that are visually related have openings that are significantly narrower, such as this one here. In addition to the width of the opening, staff does not find the lack of garage doors visually compatible. Without a garage door in the opening, staff finds that the building is more akin to a carport than a carriage house, and carports are no longer appropriate in the district. With regard to design standards, and exterior walls and permitted materials, residential exterior walls shall be finished in brick, wood, or fiber cement siding with a smooth finish or true stucco. Although a Part 2 design detail standard, the applicant has requested that the construction and the materials of the exterior walls be reviewed with Part 1. The building is, quote, proposed to be constructed of concrete masonry at the first level and wood frame construction above. Both will be finished with a two-coat true stucco, end quote. Per the ordinance, true stucco is defined as exterior plaster applied as two or three coat part masonry directly onto two or three part coating directly onto masonry. The first level of the building meets the standard, but the second does not. However, the board may approve alternative materials that are not listed as prohibited upon a showing by the applicant that the material or product is visually compatible with historic materials and has performed satisfactorily in the local climate. Staff does not recommend approval. This is a recent change in the ordinance in November 2022, and one of the reasons this change was implemented was because new construction stucco on frame doesn't hold up as well in the local moist climate, and once it's weathered, cracked, and molded, it is not visually compatible. And that's a quote from the text amendment. So there is a standard that says the garage opening shall not exceed 12 feet in width. So obviously the garage opening here exceeds that. With regard to accessory structures, the building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 square feet. The accessory dwelling unit is 600 square feet, but it's not clear if it is a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling. Staff is recommending to continue the request for new construction part one height and mass for a maximum of 90 days in order for the petitioner to address the following. One, redesign the ground floor garage opening to meet the 12-foot maximum width standard and add garage doors. Two, redesign the frame construction of the second level to be masonry to meet the definition of true stucco in the ordinance. Three, the principal structure must be separated from the accessory dwelling unit by a minimum of 10 feet, provide a dimension and ensure the standard is met. Four, the building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit must be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, provide a calculation and ensure that the standard is met. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Go ahead.
I did have one question. Could you flip back to the picture, the rear elevation where you're showing the picture? Actually, it's the drawing of the garage.
Drawing of the garage. This?
Yes.
Okay.
Number five. Does staff not have any issues with the windows back there?
So we didn't have any comments on them. We felt that this overall opening meets the 5-to-3 ratio in the ordinance.
Yeah.
And it has operable components, so we didn't have any comments on those.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Leah. Will the petitioner please come forward again and state your name for the record?
Jerry Lominack, I'm the architect for the project. I have actually a drawing to give to Ms. Mihalik. The distance between the existing building and the proposed building is 13 feet 4 and 15 32nds of an inch is based on measurements. And the other thing, the actual building, the percentage of the building being proposed is 49% of the existing footprint of the building. It's there. However, it is below the allowable or maximum 700 square feet. It's 600 square feet. And the site coverage is 60.4 percent rather than a maximum of 75 that's allowed. So the building, I think, obviously is not out of scale with the adjacent building and does comply with two of those three requirements. And the building, the main building actually has roughly about 3,000 square, a little over 3,000 square feet in it of habitable area. So using only the footprint really doesn't give an accurate picture of the size of that structure. I understand from Ms. Mihalik that in order for that to be approved, it would probably have to go before the Zoning Board of Appeals as a recommendation for approval of a variance on that percentage for the carriage house itself. I wanted to address those first because they're probably easier to address. The ground floor, the existing parking, there are three parking spaces there that are possible now. There's no way to have three parking off-street parking spaces on that site with not leaving it open the way it is. We viewed this as actually covering an existing open parking area as opposed to building a new parking area. The one thing it does do is it screens it from both the east and west rather than having it open, and it does remove one parking space from the street, which I think is always advisable. With a parking shortage we have downtown and in that neighborhood. I live in that neighborhood, so I know there is a parking shortage. I'd like to address the stucco, true stucco finish on the upper floor. There's a difference that really one coat stucco is something of a misnomer. Stucco, no real stucco process is a one coat system. They're either two or three coat systems typically. The wood frame system, using wood frame and properly installing it like any other component that goes into a building, works quite well. The statement that it doesn't perform, let me see from the review, that statement was, this is a recent change in the ordinance, November 2022. And one of the reasons this change was implemented was because new construction stucco on frame does not hold up well in the local moist climate. And once it has weathered, cracked, and molded, is not visually compatible. And that was a quote from the text amendment. When you base a decision on an untruth, it's hard to really get somewhere. Properly installed, it performs well. And like all other building components, virtually all of the building components, incorrectly installed, they do not perform well. To take that one example, for instance, would be a roof, a pitched roof steeply pitched roof, let's say 6 and 12 or 8 and 12 pitched roof with asphalt shingles on it, improperly installed is a bit more forgiving over a short period of time than a flat roof or low pitched roof behind a parapet with a membrane roof improperly installed. Properly installed, they both work quite well, but improperly installed, they don't. That would be true of installing brick without the proper ties to whatever's behind it. And so to not use a product because of an improper installation by someone really seems inappropriate. And one of the things that was mentioned in the ordinance was by showing that stucco over wood frame does perform. Mr. Thompson mentioned a house, Jones in Habersham, it was not Abercorn, that actually I designed. It turned 50 years old this year. Portions of that house, the curved stair element and the projecting elements are all stucco over wood frame with no cracks in it. It was installed properly. The house that I currently live in, that my wife owns, the addition to that, which is about 26 years old and was approved by the Historic District Review Board at the time, is stucco over wood frame on the second level. Doesn't have any cracks in it. So I would like to request that the board approve the use of a two-part true stucco properly installed over wood frame construction. And it does have the authority to do that. The garage issue is, I guess, subject to interpretation. We viewed it as covering some existing parking that was open and was going to be there. Also felt like that removing the that one car, additional car on the street, helped with the parking issues in the area. And it did provide screening for what some pretty, well, a pretty bad thing to the east of it, carport thing. I could not find a definition or anything in the ordinance that said carports weren't allowed in the landmark district, and I'm not able to locate it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Lamanai? Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to make a comment? Just make sure you state your name again.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jones with the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. I find this building very problematical from visual compatibility perspective and other reasons. You can see the general cast of the building's horizontal. It reads horizontal. Most of the buildings in this area read vertically. In particular, I have trouble with those two windows on the left, the one on the far left and far right. Again, that thick horizontal division is communicating a directionality in the building that's not appropriate. So, and of course the carport section as well, again, is an extreme horizontal motion. So the building just seems to be totally at odds with the buildings around it. And one thing to keep in mind is where this building is. To the best of my understanding, it faces the Colonial Cemetery. There's a park and then there's the cemetery. The cemetery is an 18th century cemetery. So from now, your backdrop for the cemetery is those images that you saw, a jumble of buildings, but most of them dating from the 19th century with, again, windows that are higher than they are wide, with muntins that have a vertical cast. This is nothing like that. And this is a very, very odd and disturbing backdrop for our precious colonial cemetery. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Virtually? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comments at all?
I don't think I have any comments.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. Mr. Thompson, I will start with you.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Sorry.
Could I see the conditions up on the board, please? Do I have them up already here? Let me see. Well, I'm in agreement with staff recommendation. The not so concerned about the windows in the back, but the open garage door in combination with apparently exceeding the 40%. If I understood the answer correctly, that the modification of the building could allow two parking spaces with the appropriate doors, and meet the 40%. So I guess my question for staff right now is, what is within our discretion on variance or modifications of the ordinance, allowing modifications, and what isn't? Are we able to deal with the, I don't agree that we can, but on the stucco issue, and if it isn't us, is the variance board able to?
You mean a special exception? A special exception?
Special.
Yeah. We're not trying to change anything.
So the first one would need a special exception, the first condition. The second one you all can do here because that material is not prohibited.
Which we talked about during pre that we have allowed certain instances like that to occur. We have allowed it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the third, it sounds like he's meeting that, or that the site is meeting that issue. And then the fourth one would require a recommendation from you all to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
A recommendation that would be?
Either for or against.
To the variance board.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Going to be 49% versus 40.
Yeah.
Of lot coverage.
Footprint.
Footprint, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Higgins.
I favor the staff recommendation of a continuance so hopefully they can keep working together. I do want to say, I think us allowing, we have allowed variations on the true stucco in the past, I think it's something we have held many people to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to continue doing that. And number four especially concerns me. The 40-60 ratio, if we were to vary from that, the precedent we might set for other projects is very troublesome.
Okay, Ms. Rowan?
Sorry. Is there precedence for dwelling over a carport like that?
I would say in the years that I've been on this board, I've never seen it.
Okay,
so but Leah would obviously know more than me because she's been staff longer than
this. This would be the first. I also haven't driven down every single lane.
I mean, it's the first new one that I've seen. I don't know if there's existing ones throughout the district. I would say if there are, they're definitely not contributing.
Okay. I mean, I like the design of the carriage house. I guess I would prefer it to have garage doors, but I understand why you want it to be a carport with the parking issue.
But parking's also not within our purview, so we have to think about that as well.
Yeah. Okay, that's the only.
Yeah, Mr. Becker.
I think staff did a great job of reviewing this, and I think I support their recommendation to continue so they could work with the applicant on exception number 1, 2, and 4.
Mr. Hull.
I agree with one, the staff's recommendations, the other comments made by the board, but I would really want to consider an additional condition about changing the design of the windows on on that backside.
Okay, we'll go around a second time. Mr. Thompson. Anything additional?
I think what it boils down to is I support the continuation that the staff recommended, and that any, I guess we need to make a recommendation if on that last item, but I agree with staff recommendation.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
No additional comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No additional comments.
Mr. Becker.
No additional comments.
And Mr. Houle.
None.
Okay, at this time, we'll now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, this is Stan Houle.
Yes.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review continue petition 2300-4230 COA at 208 East Liberty Street for a maximum of 90 days with the conditions as outlined in the staff recommendation plus condition number 5, redesign the windows on the north side facing the lane to be more visually compatible.
Becker, second.
Pause. Writing. Okay, current motion on the floor is made by Mr. Houle to continue for 90 days with all of the, in order for the petitioner to address all of the followings, 1 through 4, plus add an additional number 5 to redesign the north facade windows to be more visually compatible, and seconded by Mr. Becker. Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
No, I don't agree with adding the fifth condition.
Okay, Mr. Becker?
Aye.
And Mr. Houle?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the petition of Architecture 101, 23-004229-COA, 546 East Taylor Street, New Construction Accessory Building, Parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to add a second story to an existing one-story garage at the rear of the property located at 546 East Taylor Street. I'll zoom in a little on these existing photos just to kind of show. This is what we're seeing in the present day. And then this adding on this level is what is proposed. 546 East Taylor Street was built in 1893 and is a contributing resource within the National Historic Landmark District and the local Savannah Downtown Historic District. The scope of this project, though, is limited to a non-contributing garage structure at the rear of the property facing the lane. Along the lane, there are other rear accessory structures ranging from one-story garages to accessory dwelling units. Here's kind of some context photos there. According to the Historic Savannah Ward Inventory Notebook for Davis Ward, the brick tenements at 544 through 552 East Taylor Street were built in 1893. The Sanborn maps between 1898 and 1973 all show a row of one-story wood frame dwellings at the rear of the property facing East Jones Lane. These dwellings had their own separate addresses, which suggests there was more to them than the one-story garages that exist in the location at present. Further, the current garage structures are all listed as non-contributing resources. Overall, staff found that the project meets many of the standards. However, regarding the visual compatibility criteria, the height of the proposed addition to the existing accessory garage structure, as well as the proportion of the window openings within the new second story, are not visually compatible with the ADU directly adjacent to the proposed project. The visual compatibility of the elevation to itself is also slightly off balance. Staff recommends revising the design to be more compatible where there appears to be excess height in the space between the top of the windows and the first brick course. I'll show some other drawings and renderings just to give everybody that visual. Staff also found that the casement window type is not visually compatible with the surrounding contributing buildings and recommends exploring other options that would be more compatible. And staff also noted HVAC unit on the roof appears as though it could be partially visible from a public right-of-way, which if you zoom in, you can see it's right up here. So if that's the case, it will need to be screened, and it is not noted on the drawings whether the shutters would be operable. So staff is recommending to approve the request to add a second story to an existing accessory garage structure for the property located at 546 East Taylor Street with the following conditions for staff review and approval prior to starting the project. Because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, one, revise the design to be more compatible where there appears to be excess height in the space between the top of the windows and the parapet wall. Submit a window type that is more visually compatible than the proposed casement window and ensure that the shutters are operable. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Caitlin? Go ahead.
Does the excess height on the exterior reflect on the interior floor to ceiling height? I didn't think of that one.
That may be the case. We can check with the applicant, who I believe is here to present.
Well, I'm sure they probably know, but if I guess the question I have is the interior height can be accommodated without the exterior
expression
projection of it. And you probably not questions should be asked again. Yes.
Any additional questions for staff? Okay. Thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner like to come forward? Please make sure you state your name for the record.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Drummond. I'm with Architecture 101. Thank you, staff, for all your work and for your considerations and recommendations. I guess I'll just talk to each item. Item three is really easy. The shutters will be operable. So that is addressed. As far as the window selection, we have...
Excuse me a sec. Could you raise the mic up a little bit so you're into it a little bit?
Is that
more?
Better?
I think.
Okay. We have chosen a different selection for the window here. You'll see it's still a French casement window. But with more mullions to make it more visually compatible with the area, I've shown some examples here. The first two are contributing buildings that show French casement windows of similar design. The third one is a non-contributing structure, but is on the same lane. Choosing this window also, we changed the height of the window. Going back to the comment on the proportions of the building, changing the height of the window helps us to eliminate some of the brick that was above it between the banding, which was a concern. Addressing your comment about the interior height, the reason it is taller is because we have a parapet wall on the north facade that is not on the neighboring structure. That wall is to screen the mechanical unit, which is seen in elevation, but you never truly view a building in that elevation. So it helps. It's 2 foot, 3 inch tall parapet on that side to help screen. The existing, I think I have a photo. Some conditions. Get used to this Zoom. So currently, you can see the mechanical units on the main structures are visible. And so that was a concern that we brought up and addressed with the 2 foot, 3 inch parapet wall on the north side. Because of this, we believe we have addressed all of the staff's concerns and request approval.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment?
Hello.
Hello, this is Andrew Jones, the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. I support the staff's recommendation, and I think the solution is to make the windows a little bit higher, as well as perhaps to put them a little bit closer together. I think that would solve the proportion issues that you're addressing. Thank you.
Do I have any other public comments virtually? No? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comments? No? Okay. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
No comments.
Mr. Becker?
I have no comments.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
And Mr. Thompson?
This is a question for staff. Would Mr. Jones's suggestion solve the issue the staff has?
I mean, I think between that and what the petitioner has shown, mm-hmm. it appears that it's been addressed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if nobody has any additional comments, then we will entertain a motion.
Higgins?
Yes.
Move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to the number. File number, thank you.
You're welcome.
23-004229 COA 546 East Taylor Street. Approve a request to add a second story with the three conditions staff included in their report.
Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Okay, current motion on the floor is to approve the condition, or approve the petition, excuse me, with the recommendations as outlined in the staff recommendation. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, with that, it has been approved with conditions. The next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Shaw Architecture and Interiors 23-004238-COA 124 East McDonough Street, Rehabilitation and Alterations.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation and alterations, including reopening partially infilled windows for the property located at 124 East McDonough Street. And the scope of work includes mortar repair, which just certain areas it's going to be spot treated, which can be shown in some of these photos. Also includes gutter repair and replacement, wood soffit and fascia repair, wood bracket repair and replacement, obviously in kind, cast stone sill repair, metalwork repair, repair to the dormer, and then remove infill of rear arched windows and return to full arched windows. Can be seen here. So for some context, 124 East McDonough Street was built in 1861 and is a contributing resource within the National Historic Landmark District and Local Historic District. The applicant provided a detailed history of the building completed by Ethos Preservation. The property originally functioned as a residence, and it appears to have served in that capacity until 1950 when some of the building was converted to offices. And just here's our kind of overview. The building footprint has not changed and appears much the same as it has in photographs seen from approximately the 1960s through the 1980s. The rear elevation has a series of arched windows that have since been infilled with smaller windows. It is not clear exactly when this was done, but of the maps, drawings, and photographs uncovered in the research process, there is nothing showing the rear elevation. Historic research from staff also did not uncover any of that. Here's some existing photos. You can see where the arched windows have been filled in. Just show some of the existing elevations. So specifically on the rear elevation where there's a varying degree of infill and different windows. Staff found much of the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Some brick repointing work is proposed in areas where it is needed. And the applicant noted that a sample of the mortar will be lab tested to determine what to use for repointing. So staff is requesting that the applicant provides this information from the lab results and the proposed type of mortar to be used prior to starting this work. With regard to the arched windows at the rear, staff found that removing the current wood infill and smaller non-historic windows is appropriate, but did find there were some visual compatibility issues with the center arch windows and the ones on the sides where the variation between the two appearances is visually inconsistent. Also, the proposed material for the replacement windows is steel. However, for a building from 1861, staff recommends instead using wood windows as a more historically appropriate material. Lastly, the applicant noted that some features will be painted, such as window frames, wood trim at dormers, and the dormer louvers. For any painting that is not a match to any existing painting features, staff just recommends the applicant submit paint color samples. The staff recommendation is to approve the proposed rehabilitation and alterations for the property located at 124 East McDonough Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, submit mortar lab test results and sample. Two, redesign the center arch windows on the rear elevation to be more visually compatible with the surrounding arched windows. Three, utilize wood instead of steel. And four, submit proposed paint color for windows, wood trim at dormers, and louvers. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Caitlin?
I have one quick one, and it may be more appropriate for the applicant. Did they discuss the reason for the center windows being so radically different?
I know there's a difference because on the sides there's a more, it's residential, and in the center there's a stairway, and then you have, but I'm not sure. They could probably better answer the question in terms of the bigger details there, but.
Any additional questions for staff? No. Thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michael Johnson from Shaw Architecture. I'd like to thank staff for all their help in developing this this submittal so far. We've been working on this here for a few months. We are accepting of all the staff's conditions. We are planning on testing. We just haven't got the testing of the mortar done, and we're still working on some paint schemes. Once we get those completed, we will submit those to staff for review. We actually went back and forth on the windows on the back of this building a few times, so we've got equally versions where all three windows were the same as well. You could see this little bit of a mess of a stair in the back of the building. One of the major parts of the renovation for this project is also interior, so we're trying to rework this stair and working with the fire marshal's office to see what we can do to make this as compliant as possible. So one of the thoughts was, it was challenging on the back of this building, not having any original, documentation of what was there. We've, you know, kind of done our own kind of architectural archaeology, trying to figure out how that space functioned. We know there was a stair back there at one point in time in that center bay. And, we're not sure if those two side bays were actually ever enclosed. They might have been open based on the construction it looks like inside, but we're just not sure. And so that's why there was kind of a different expression on those. We did, and we're definitely trying, intentionally to make it look like this was not part of the original design. And we kind of, that's when we went back with the three, same windows on the back of the building. We we were a little concerned that it might be misconstrued, that was in somehow implying that that was what was once there, and it certainly wasn't. But if the board so wishes, we're equally happy to go back and make all three of those windows the same. We feel like that would be equally appropriate for what we're trying to do. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? No? Thank you.
Thank you all.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment?
My name is Andrew Jones, Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. Caitlin, could we have the floor plan? What we call the rear facade of this building is really a fabulous facade, and I fully support the recommendation that the windows be the same, and maybe it's up here. Yes, as you can see in this floor plan, the original condition is self-evident. Look at the masonry walls in the back. Those are what they call the cabinets. Remember those in 225 East President Street? And the area in between originally would have been an open porch used as a sleeping porch. And probably it didn't have any windows, but rather louvers, shutters. And that's a very typical condition of Italianate houses in Savannah. So the main issue is that those three openings that originally were probably were shutters were visually similar. So I think that given that they're not going to be shutters, they're going to be windows, at a minimum, they should all be aligned. But even though we don't have evidence and photographs of the original condition, I think the masonry structure here makes it pretty clear, and it corresponds to other buildings in that period with the corner, what they call cabinets, the little rooms, and then the central open porched area. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comments? I just want to expand on that for a second, because I just also, looking at that and his comment, also made me realize that the Noble Hardy Mansion is also the same way. So it probably was all open at one point. Anyway, is there any other public comments virtually? No? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comments? No? Okay. Okay. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. Mr. Hull.
I think this is a great project and agree with the staff's recommendations.
Okay, Mr. Becker.
I concur, but I also like to pick up the opportunity to have the windows be the same. I think that would be attractive.
Ms. Roman?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No additional comment.
Ms. Johnson?
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful project. It amazed me if I got the right project in mind, how many outside lines there were all around this building connecting stuff, I guess. But somebody really had the Rube Goldberg bug in them for sure. Thank you.
Okay. Since nobody had any additional comments, we will now entertain a motion. Somebody. Make sure your mic is on. Make sure your mic's on.
Really?
Yes.
Madam Chairman, Stan Hull, I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 23004238 COA at 124 East McDonald. East McDonough Street, with the conditions as stated in the staff report.
Do I have a second?
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Okay, current motion on the floor is to approve with conditions as outlined in the staff review. Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
And Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Okay, with that, it has been approved with conditions. Last one, y'all. Okay. The petition of Meredith Stevens, 23-004217-COA, 619 East Broad Street, after the fact rehabilitation. Okay, make sure you say it into the mic one more time, just so that they have it.
Higgins is recusing himself.
Okay. Thank you, thank you. We'll come get you when we're done.
All right. Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for an after-the-fact roof installation performed for the property located at 619 East Broad Street, completed prior to the applicant's purchase of the house. Staff also did observe other work completed without a COA, including front doors, porch railings, balusters, and newel posts, as well as inoperable shutters, permanently installed window boxes, and a rear deck with a vinyl fence. So just a little bit of context, 619 East Broad Street is part of a duplex that's also 621. It was constructed in 1898 and is a contributing resource. It was built around the same time as several other houses in a nearly identical style. These other houses include 625 East Broad Street and 549-551 Nichols Street. The building first appears on the 1916 Sanborn map, surrounded by several other wooden one-story duplexes with wood porches. The 1953 and 1973 Sanborn maps show no major changes to the building. The images on Google Street View show that the following aspects of this work was done sometime between 2019 and 2022 when these were taken. It all appears to have been undertaken by the previous owner prior to the time that the current owner purchased this. And so some of those include the material change from a shingle to metal roof. Also can be seen that the front door changed. The color change that exists now was done with a COA. So that was approved work. But the change of the porch railing style from the crosses to the turned wood balusters, addition of new railings and newel posts on the sides, and addition of attached wooden window boxes. Let's see. Just to show these a little closer up. Exterior porch light fixtures. And staff was unable to determine the date of installation of the following items: an unscreened HVAC unit on the roof at the rear, and rear deck and interior vinyl fence. Now, going back to 2007, which is as far back as the Google Street View goes, it does show that this HVAC unit has been there the whole time, whereas the vinyl fence appears to be newer and may likely have been done at the same time as the other work as the previous owner prepared to sell the house. Staff found that replacing an asphalt shingle roof with a standing seam metal roof meets the standard and is a return to what is shown on the 1916 Sanborn map, an undated older photo from the neighboring house. 623-625 East Broad Street shows a small corner of the roof, which is enough to determine that was indeed standing seam metal roof. It is undetermined whether the cross-style railings on the front porch that were removed were original, but the turned wood balusters in their place are still within the character for this property. In the same undated photo, this house, the neighboring house, shows that cross-style railing. It's different, though, than what was seen in this photo. The replacement balusters appear to still be accurate to the context of the style and time period rather than a conjectural feature and are similar to what's currently at 625. The standards are not met for the other features such as the door light fixtures, window boxes, and inoperable shutters as they interfere with the historic character of the house. Thus, the staff recommendation is as follows: to continue the application for after-the-fact alterations to the property located at 619 East Broad Street for a time period not to exceed 90 days in order for the applicant to work with MPC staff to address the following. One, replace the existing front doors with a historically appropriate style. Two, remove window boxes. Three, replace newel posts with a more visually compatible type and place on the stair instead of the ground as is seen throughout that area. Four is change the shutters to become hinged and operable. Five, remove rear interior vinyl fence. Six, explore options for screening the roof-mounted HVAC unit. And seven, select an exterior light fixture more aligned with the era of the historic house with a white light source. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Caitlin? Okay. I need to say I have questions. I don't know who would be best to answer this, but I guess I missed this when I reviewed this before. But these were changes that were completed by the prior homeowner?
Yes.
So how?
How are they responsible?
Yeah.
Well,
it should have been caught before.
I mean, that's a valid question, right?
And this is something code compliance got involved with. So they had to come.
So basically the work was done by the previous homeowner without a COA, and then it was brought to the attention, and now we're trying to fix this when they weren't the ones.
We've been told previously that the work is inherited with the property.
Well, I mean, that's valid, but at the same time.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Do you have an opinion you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I'm like, how are we going to make a motion about this?
No. Melanie Wilson, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. I just was going to say that, you know, if you think about it, that's why we come before you as a board. You know, each one of these are a case by case. In this case, the applicants purchased the property where the previous applicant did not follow the rules. You know, now you could make the argument that that applicant should have checked knowing that they were in a historic district to see if there were any problems, but they probably just assumed since the work was done that it was okay.
Well, yeah.
But you all are here to make those independent decisions with regards to what you think is appropriate, you know, is appropriate and what is not. So, you know, and we always get these when we do, we come before you so that you can make a decision. You know, we kind of don't make the rules, but when it's pointed out, you have to at least address it or come up with some way to address it.
Okay. Noted.
Thank you.
Yep. You look like you have questions.
I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
I feel for you.
Do you have a question?
I do. And again, like you, I'm not sure
for staff
where to direct it to, but.
If you have a question for staff, we'll do those now. If you have one for the petitioner, we'll do those in a minute.
Yeah. I guess my question's for
the petitioner. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions for staff before we move? Okay. Would the petitioner like to come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm Meredith Stevens. I own 619 East Broad. I purchased it in July of 2022 and have since gotten many complaints about some COAs that I did not apply for because I did not own the house when these things occur. So I have brought Andrew Lee, who's my boyfriend, also a construction consultant with me, and would like for him to speak on my behalf if that is okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Andrew Lee. I thought I'd just go quickly down the line. So as everybody understands, Meredith didn't understand that any of this hadn't been done before, prior. The history for us is when she bought it, she's gotten, this is the second anonymous complaint. So they're receiving anonymous complaints in good faith. She satisfied the first one with front door color, got a $50 permit, satisfied it. Everyone's happy. Okay. Got another one for the roof, which got a letter back from the commission that said that it's within compliance.
Yeah.
And then I believe got a third or somehow got wrapped into the railing. And then came out based on the roof concern and created the laundry list that you see now.
Okay.
So it wasn't part of, to our understanding, it wasn't part of the original list. So I'll just walk down that list quick just so we're all on the same page if that's easiest.
That's fine.
So the front door, obviously the color was approved, as she had mentioned. The doors match and they, I mean, that's just an opinion. There's nothing we can really say about that. We don't know anything about the history of it, obviously. Same thing with the window boxes. We think they look nice. We have flowers in them, but don't know anything about the history. I mean, they clearly were not in the photographs. The newel post is interesting because the newel post is the same newel post on the front steps. It's in the same place. It's on the bottom step, and it has to be there because the handrail has to extend past the nosing of the bottom step. So it's actually the same newel post that's in the 2019 photographs.
Oh.
If you look on the one, you can see it's going down to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation is to move it up to a step. You actually can't. You need the grip of the handrail to go all the way down past the nosing of the bottom step. Additionally, the changes, you know, the design of the rail itself has obviously been changed, but we actually can't go back. It won't meet code. It's more than a 30-inch fall there. It's about a 36-inch fall. So you can't go now with modern code, you can't go back to the old way anyway. So they had asked us to have a more intricate, I mean, it fits the front of this house, right, to have sort of a Victorian-esque look to it. Mm-hmm. So there are turn spindles on there, but they do meet the 4-inch sphere code for fall protection and everything else. So you really can't change a lot to do with that front rail anyway. You certainly can't go back to the way it was and meet just existing basic building code. So the shutters are the same that are in the photograph, 2019 and now. Those are the same shutters. They clearly need to be replaced at some point. We'll talk about that in a second. The fences are, to our knowledge, how they were back in 2019. And, in fact, recently taken off the side, someone stole the handle off, so we got to put a new handle on the side wood. So we're not sure the history of them, but they clearly have been there for a while prior to 2019, as far as we know. The HVAC, which the photograph that they showed that is what we had understood, which was it had not been screened, which would be an undertaking a little bit because it's up on that flat roof. So that whole roof would have to come off. There'd have to be some redesign of flashing and everything else. It's not as simple as a screening, but it's the way it was, certainly the way it was in 2019, certainly the way it was when we purchased it, when she purchased it. The exterior light is kind of like the window boxes. It is different. It's kind of a little nautical copper thing on there. It's the same light that was there when it was purchased. If you want to change the light can change. That's relatively straightforward, but it's kind of cool looking. So really the biggest concerns are the series of anonymous filings and creating the list. We don't know how to sort of encapsulate and put an end to that. Like, we just want to make sure everything's addressed. We want it to look good. We spoke about that on the phone yesterday that, I mean, we love Savannah because we love historic old houses. I myself, my history and professionally is with historic houses, love them. We want to do it by attrition. So when the front needs to get changed, we would change the front, would go through the normal process that previous owners should have, but apparently didn't. So that would be that's what we propose. Like, let us just solve these things in the normal attrition, pathway. And I guess that's the history of it as I understand it. And, are there any questions for us? I can give you the limited. We are in contact with the adjacent unit owner. And I know that he's following along on Zoom. You asked, he is following along on Zoom. So I think we can try and answer any questions that you have.
I just have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you have a neighbor with too much time on their hands.
Well, that's just sort of communities, isn't it? So
I feel for you.
Well, we want to look good, right?
Am I allowed to say that? Right.
Can you do me a favor and scroll down to page 3? That's like,
sure,
showing right
touch,
now.
Am I allowed to touch it? Okay.
Just because it shows the more detailed down one more. Yeah.
So you can see the light there. And
yeah.
The shutters are the same that were in the other photograph. And again, the newel post is the same.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
First of all, I think it looks nice. But the building was the year that it was constructed?
1818.
Pardon me?
1898.
Okay. So, you know, there's issues relating to this. So the kind of questions I'm going to ask are really for us and maybe the agency in the future. So forgive me for asking them.
Sure.
So it was the previous owner who made all these improvements without a COA?
Yes.
Did you have a contract on the house when he was making the improvements?
No, it was, you can see in those Zillow photos.
Okay, no, it's fine. You know, mm-hmm. I'm building a.
I don't know.
Are you building a case, Tom?
Logic right here.
Not to interrupt, sorry, but I'll ask Meredith, she may know. I don't know how long the previous owner owned it. So that, just to answer your question, I'm not sure it was the previous owner that did any of these things, if it might have been further back than that. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to ask.
I think it was the person.
She
said more than 10 years, she thought.
More than 10 years?
Yeah. The previous owner had owned it. So, yeah, a lot of these things would have been them.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. And did I understand the previous owner was a realtor?
No.
Oh,
okay. I read that. I thought I read that in the report somewhere.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because if they were, you should go after their license because they – well, and the previous owner, whoever – your agent should have informed you that you're in the historic district and design standards apply, right?
That's
you wouldn't have bought this house if you knew all this trouble would be coming, right?
Well,
okay. I'm
well, other topic. All right. But the point is,
they need to call an attorney.
When I was director here, Madam Director, when I was director here, we had people walk out to the entire historic district with brochures to hand to each owner saying what they should know.
Let's stick
okay,
to like the
I'll
topic.
Move on.
I would say let's stick to the topics.
Basically, we have a system. I talked to the realtors. On our website to find out if the property's in district 7.
Right.
We've done our due diligence.
Yeah. Let's stick to the topic at hand, Tom.
So just for our curiosity, I guess as buyers, if we're gonna put it all on the table, like what would you do? Would you go to the district and ask the district? I mean, in theory, you could file an anonymous complaint against the property before you bought it, have it checked out by the historic commission, and get a list of anything that's not compliant.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not what our function is, and I'll be glad to talk to you about what your options
are
after this meeting.
Yeah.
But for this meeting, I just wonder if I
bring it in. Bring it in.
Sure, I appreciate it. But we would love to have that. Just for everybody to know, right?
Well, we have that information. We've got a ton of information for people that are buying in all of the historic districts, because each district has a different set of criteria.
Gotcha.
So we want to make sure everybody knows. We encourage people to
Well, some of what you guys have done, which is really helpful even here today, is the context. You guys have better context than anybody else, right? Like all the historic photographs and everything else. So to have that history would be very difficult to do independently, right? So to have that would be
–
well, it sounds like we'll talk more later. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Does anybody else have any questions for him before we move on? Okay. Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment at all? Is that a yes? Okay. I'm like, are you walking out or are you walking up?
Yeah, bye. My name is Ryan Giles. I'm Director of Preservation and Historic Properties for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our Architectural Review Committee meets every Monday before these meetings, as you know, and they did review all these projects. For this project, the word they used was they were uncomfortable with even reviewing this project in the state that it's in. So we are just here to offer ourselves as a resource to this property owner, and we will help in any way that we can. Thank you.
Any additional public comments?
My name is Steve Edwards, and I'm with the Downtown Neighborhood Association. We don't really want to comment on this particular project other than to say that we shouldn't have or be in a situation where the fact that you've inherited a violation should give you carte blanche. I think every situation should be reviewed on its facts, but we hope there won't be a precedent that just because you've bought a property where there's a violation that you can get off jail free.
Thank you. Any additional public comments? No. Okay. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. Mr. Hull.
Certainly, I'm glad you saved this one for last.
Right. Right.
Here are the scales. The scales are caveat emptor versus coming up with a set of rules that you probably should have known about, but didn't. And what now we're going to get to do with that, whether or not we come down with a sledgehammer and say the rules are the rules, or whether we maybe come down with a velvet mallet and say, well, we'll do half of them, or whether we'll say, you know, it's not really your fault that they screwed up 8 or 9 years ago. And with that, I'll turn my microphone off.
Okay. Can you put up the recommendations for me real fast? Okay. Mr. Becker.
I have no comments at this time.
Miss Rowan.
I feel for you.
So I'm going to comment actually on this one. I don't normally comment, but my thought process with this is that there are certain things that could be brought up, right?
that would be relatively easy to do. So maybe there's like a compromise that could happen here where certain things are brought up and maybe certain things are left, as they are. Because I do agree that like it's not fair that they should have to bear this burden when they weren't the ones to even do the repair, or do the rehabilitation. The comment that I have about number six is screening options for the HVAC unit. Like that is more intense than just putting a screen up. And it's also one of those things where I feel like visually it's going to draw more attention to it if you add screening, considering it is on the rear facade. It is, you know, it's not like you're seeing it from the front, that kind of thing. And I would worry that if you add screening to it, you're going to see it then. It's going to be more pronounced and more visual. And I feel like that's kind of having it roof mounted over there in that area, I feel like is kind of normal. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
Thank you. I happen to agree, I think, most of what you said, because I'm not sure at all.
Oh, sorry.
This was usually a problem we had with a new owner. They come in, don't like something, do a bunch of stuff, moved in from some other state, didn't know they were in a historic district. And in those times, we voted to make them redo it. And they were monitored to do that. My suggestion, I think, is like the chair suggestion, that would be to do some things you can do now and make the commitment. I heard Mr. Lee, was it? Oh, there you are. I can't see you.
Yeah. He's hiding.
To agree to, you know, be monitored over time to make other changes that would be required through normal maintenance. So that would be my thought at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that happened to you.
We'll go around a second time just because of the issue at hand. Mr. Huell?
No, nothing more.
Mr. Becker?
Picking up on what was just said, I think then I would support a continuance to allow the applicant to work with the city on things that can be done now and milestones, the things that would be done in the future under maintenance. And I think that that would allow that plan to get established over the next 90 days.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Ms. Thompson?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. At this time, we'll now entertain a motion.
Rowan?
Yes.
I move that the Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 230042 17 COA 619 East Broad Street be approved without any of these conditions. Is that how I say that?
I don't think so.
Okay, how do I say this?
That would be a denial then, wouldn't it? To deny the petition because so, we're not – she's trying to say that she doesn't want to make them do anything, which would then be a denial of the application that's being brought forward to make them do all these things, correct?
Okay.
Opinions? Well, because the roof's not even mentioned in the thing. So this is a whole new ball game for us.
Sorry.
So just bear with us.
I think that you've got two choices. You can either accept staff's recommendation and eliminate the conditions, which is probably, you know, the recommendation is to continue it so that they could work on it, or recommend approval of the application that was submitted and not make them do any of the conditions. And I think that's
How do I say that?
So you would what you're wanting to do, you want to approve it as submitted.
Okay.
Right.
I want to approve it as submitted.
As submitted. Right.
Yes.
Which would then mean that they wouldn't do any of the things that are outlined in the staff review.
That's correct.
Yes. That's what.
Do I have a second for that?
Thompson, second.
Okay. So the current motion is to approve the application as submitted with no recommendations, nothing. Mr. Hull, how do you vote?
Nay.
Mr. Becker?
Nay.
Ms. Rowan?
Yes.
And Mr. Thompson?
I'm confused of what yes would mean.
So you're wanting to approve
the
as submitted?
It is.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Which means that we have a tie. Which means then I have to,
I
have to be the one to make the decision. I'm gonna approve it as it was submitted as well. But just keeping in mind that future, just come back and see us when you do future things. Cause I don't think that it's your burden that you should have to bear. Okay. So with that, the petition has been approved as submitted. And that's the item on the final agenda. Can we bring back Mr. Higgins? Okay, next we're going to acknowledge and approve the staff-approved petitions, and I'm going to read through all of them, so bear with me because there are quite a few today. The petition of Austin Ziegler, hopefully I'm saying that right, 23-004-335-COA, 207 West York Street, repair work to the building envelope. The petition of Benjamin Coffrey, 23-004-224-COA, 334 West Jones Street, replacement of seven windows. The petition of Kelly Keeser, 23-004-232-COA, 326 West Jones Street, replacement of two windows. The petition of Jeff Jerkins, 23-004-223-COA, 300 and 400 West River Street, installation of six retractable awnings. The petition of Stephen Smith, 23-004-233-COA, 207 East Gordon Street, color change of the front door. The petition of Harley Krinsky, 23-004094-COA, 552 to 554 East McDonough Street, after the fact new construction amendment, stair addition. The petition of Rachel Clements, 23-003821-COA, 408 East Huntington Street, window replacement and color change. The petition of Peter Thompson, 23-004034-COA, 529 East Harris Street, roof replacement. The petition of Walt Freeman, 23-004074-COA, 548 East State Street, exterior color change. The petition of Steve Lieberman, 23-004378-COA, 115 East River Street, new awning, valance, and light fixture. The petition of SCAD, Tony Hensley, 23-004330-COA, 641 Indian Street, two non-illuminated signs. Everybody vote for acknowledgement. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed for any reason? Okay. Attached are reports, violation reports, that deviates from previous approval. There's also a report for items that were just deferred to staff, which this month there were none. Next are inspection reports for September and stamp drawing reports for September. Does anybody have any other business they would like to discuss? Okay. The only thing that I will bring to your attention in case you don't know is the Victorian District situation of trying to add three buildings that are technically considered non-contributing right now. They're being brought forth to being added to contributing, and that meeting is tomorrow. So if you have an opinion about that, you should go or write a letter or something because the likelihood that if they're not adopted, them being demolished is very high. So keep that in mind. And I don't have any other business. The next HDBR pre-meeting is Wednesday, October 11th, 2023 at noon here. And then the regular meeting obviously starts at 1. Meeting adjourned.